This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jay Sherman. I'm glad you found me once again. I know it wasn't easy since we moved from ABC to Fox to Comedy Central and then here to the Internet. As you can see, we aren't exactly moving up. Anyway, I've given up on reviewing movies and have moved on to reviewing the next overhyped medium. Wait for it. Podcasting. Today, let's start off with a review of Technorama. Achi Machi! This show features a couple of boneheads and self-proclaimed geeks recording their show from their basement. Bill Shatner, you were right all along. They put out material that is mildly interesting at best while trying to satisfy their overly bloated egos. Well, let me sum up this show in two low-tech words. It stinks.
Wow, that hurt, Craig. Our first real critic, and we got burned.
Smacked. We got smacked down.
Well, what are we going to do? Always have to look up. You know, you can't go down from there.
Or here.
Welcome to Technorama. Buy one, get one free. This is show number 90 for March 9, 2006. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man handing out pamphlets at the front door, my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. Will you take one?
No thanks. I'm in a hurry to catch my flight. See ya!
Sir! All right.
Coming up in tonight's show... Wait, we have to start that traditional music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there. I'm a little off tonight for some reason. Coming up in tonight's show...
This is how the professionals do it, by the way.
Yeah, stay away from the mixer, sir. We have the question to the answer 42.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, we've been waiting for that forever.
The Technorama research team has finally got it.
Our crackpot team of research scientists. We've got answers to a few other previous questions that you listeners were so kind to contribute, and we've got a ton of other stuff. Has nothing to do with cows, but we'll be right back after On This Day in Tech History. On This Day in Tech History, for March 9th, 2006. This is March 9th, it's the 68th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 297 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1822 that Charles Graham of New York patented the modern false teeth. The first soda fountain opened for business on this date in 1858 in Lowell, Massachusetts. And it was on this date in 1862, during the American Civil War, the first battle between two ironclad warships. In a five-hour battle near Hampton Roads, Virginia, the USS Monitor fights the CSS Virginia to a draw. And the Aleutian Islands register a 9.1 magnitude earthquake on this date in 1957. And in 1964, the first Ford Mustang rolls off the assembly line at the Ford Motor Company. Construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline begins on this date in 1975. And the home VCR came of age on this date in 1975 when MGM released its epic film, Gone with the Wind, on Betamax Video.
Where is your copy? The internet gained 1.7 million new users on this date in March 1994 with the online service CompuServe. When they offered web to its subscribers, CompuServe eventually became part of AOL. Happy birthday on this date goes out in 1454 to Amerigo Vespucci, the Italian explorer and cartographer, for which America is supposedly named. Also, happy birthday on this date in 1564 to David Fabricius, the German astronomer. Alexander F. Mozhaisky, the Russian aviator pioneer, was born on this date in 1825. And in 1900, Howard Aiken, the American computing pioneer behind the IBM Harvard Mark I, was born. And finally, happy birthday on this date in 1934 to Yuri Gagarin, the Soviet cosmonaut who was the first human in space. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for March 9th, 2006.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Yay, that's me.
Adam Savage said our name.
Yeah. He knows who I am.
I don't think so.
Well, he wouldn't recognize me on the street, but you know. You sound stupid. I know you.
A letter for me?
Yes, a letter for you, Michael J. Fox.
Yes, it's a letter for you.
We have a ton of letters and a ton of voicemails in here, so we're going to scan through these pretty fast. First one's from James Bennett. He was talking about the satellite radio thing from Phil Clark, and he said, you know, it could be one of these pirate FM retransmitters, like a relay station. They're popping up all over the place, and he says they're cracking down on a lot of them, but every time you... They've got a range of about 3 to 5 kilometers, and... every time they crack down on one, another one or another 10 pop up. They're kind of like cockroaches.
Gee, imagine that.
More information in the show notes. Yeah, just like anything, pirate radio.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I remember reading about that because people were ticked off that Howard Stern wasn't on terrestrial radio anymore in New York, especially. So,
we've also got another one from John Tyler. Not John Taylor. He was part of Duran Duran.
Man, I love John Tyler, man. And the Aerosmith rocks.
Craig had a little too much LDS in the 60s.
Yes.
He writes, in recent podcasts, you discuss people receiving serious radio broadcasts over their car radio while traveling. I'm no expert at this, but I play one on TV. But your theory seems to be correct. I have a Sirius receiver that can be used in my home or car. I had an experience last week. That may be of interest to you. I had the receiver on in my house listening to Howard Stern when I realized that I had to go to the gas station and fill my tank before leaving for work. I left the radio on in the house and got in my car to head to the gas station. My car radio was tuned to the frequency that I use for my Sirius radio. So as I drove off to the gas station, I was able to pick up Howard Stern for over a block from my house. I think he's confirming the same thing we've suspected all along, as this next voicemail will also confirm.
Hey, wait.
Hi, Chuck. This is Brian.
What? Yeah, what?
Don't go so fast. Hold on.
Slow down.
I was like, man, I want to interject.
Thanks for
here.
Listening. That's the end of the show.
Man. No, I was going to say, I know something about this because, you know, a wireless router is nothing but a radio either. And I've been down the road at the gas station, and I pulled out the Pocket BC, and just for the heck of it, I turned on the wireless card. Bam, I was on my wireless router.
Was that like, when you called me on Skype from your PDA?
No, I was in the grocery store. across the street, actually.
Craig,
from there,
we need some milk.
Yeah, you know, I was getting some stuff like that, and I was in the grocery store. I saw I had wireless, and it was pretty strong, so I called Chuck on the with Skype and talked to him as I got out into the car and started to drive down the road.
And then I think we lost signal somewhere along there.
Yeah, so.
So he was picking up Howard Stern about two blocks away, and this message that I started to play here.
Hi, Chuck. This is Brian from the GeekNote.net podcast. And I was responding to the serious Howard Stern type issue with the driving and the iTrip. Actually, I have XM radio, and my XM device has an FM transmitter built into the device. So when I receive the XM signal, and it transmits back out to my radio station. And I haven't really experimented with Sirius, but it seems like it could be the same thing. And also the issue with moving the FM transmitter, your iTrip around your car and it picking up other signals. My guess is actually it's just losing its signal quality. So it will actually your car will pick up other radio stations. So that's just my guess. So have a good day and 101.
What does that spell?
101?
Surely you can't be serious. Yes, we're serious, and don't call us Shirley.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you that this has got to be what it was. Is somebody either had one of these units in their house that he drove by,
yep,
or was just in another car or something like that.
I think the mystery has pretty much been solved, even though we have no clue what we're talking about.
Wait a minute, I think the horse just twitched. Let's beat it some more.
We're going to put that topic to bed. That was, what, three shows in a row we've talked about the Sirius issue or satellite radio thing. So let's talk about iPod video encoding, since we had a question about that. Hey, we're just a boiling, seething cauldron of good knowledge. Actually, we have excellent listeners who contribute.
I was referred to as a font of knowledge one time.
A font? Helvetica?
That's actually what I said. Ariel?
This is from Daniel Woods in regards to the iPod video encoding situation that Lingo had put towards us. He said, according to the specifications, a 5th gen iPod with video can handle H.264 or AAC audio up to a resolution of 320 by 240. It can also handle standard MP4 video and AAC audio up to 480 by 480. His solution was encode with iTunes. Gosh, how simple could that be?
Yeah.
If you control click, because Lingo did say it worked in iTunes, and if you just encode it in there, you ought to be all set, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess so, because it would know, you'd think.
And then John Dernholt, hope I didn't massacre that too badly, writes in, hi Chuck, just listened to the last Technorama, and there was a question/topic about compression for the 5th gen iPod. Here is a very useful link, and he points us to plasticbugs.com. There's an article on that. It's called The Last iPod Video Guide You Will Ever Need. Take a hammer, smash your iPod. You don't need this manual anymore.
Go to eBay.
Hope it's useful. And then my comment about Battlestar Galactica 1.0 seemed to generate... Hey. I think I struck a nerve with this.
You know, Chuck, you're my friend, but I'm standing back from these comments that you made. I disavow you now.
You're dead to me. Joel McLaughlin sends us a wonderful top 10 list. Here are my reasons, and number one can apply to Star Wars, too. You're ready. You got the drum machine handy? Go for it. There. Wow, that's okay. A little weak tonight. I don't know what happened there. Number 10, because we got tired of watching variety shows. Read Sonny and Cher. Number 9, because... one can only watch so much of Rockford Files and Archie Bunker. He's got a point there. When I was that young, Archie Bunker just didn't do it for me.
Hey, Rockford Files is cool, though.
Number 8, one word, spandex! Number 7, guys in chrome outfits were cool. I don't remember chrome outfits, do you?
Cylons, hello.
Oh, those guys. I was thinking the real actors. By your command. Whoosh! See, the Cylons today look like, you know...
People.
Pretty good-looking people, too.
Mm-hmm. Some of...
Trisha Helfer.
Yeah, but forget that. There's a dude in there. I don't know why they had to put him in there, but...
Well, Number six, that laser sound was just incredible. Yeah, that was
more like.
Number five, Cassiopeia was a hooker. What the heck? Number four,
she was, man.
Egyptian helmets that light up. Told you about those Egyptian helmets.
You know what? The current helmets have that same shape, by the way.
No, they're not. The faceplate slopes down. It's a whole different helmet.
You go back and watch your show, man.
Look at a standard motorcycle helmet. It looks closer to the old ones than it does to the new ones.
I've had my TiVo longer than you. I can go back at least several episodes and look.
These look like hazmat helmets.
Intel bunny guys.
Number three, Lauren Green was so fatherlike compared to Edward James Olmos.
Engage. Oh, wait, that's the same. Wrong guy.
Dude. What H-track did you just trip over? Number two words, turbo thrust. Hey, you know, in watching that old show, you look at that joystick they were playing, turbo was right next to fire. Bad design.
Oops.
Get ready to go, Apollo. Oh, sorry, Starbuck.
You can shoot and then catch up with your bullet.
And number one, it was all we had.
Hey, I got something to interject here on the Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas podcast where they reviewed Knight Rider. They pointed out that the turbo thrust buttons and some of the controls were the same ones they used in Kit.
Yikes. And of course, the listeners couldn't get away without a wonderful voicemail.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, this is Bob from Arkansas. Wanted to leave you a voice comment on show 89 and the situation of accidentally recording the old Battlestar Galactica. Wanted to let you know I did the exact same thing. And then when I went to watch it, I was kind of depressed to notice it was the old one, I had about four or five episodes that ended up being recorded, and so I watched them. And so family kind of made fun of that when they saw how old and
unusual
it looked on the original series compared to what I look at now. So anyway, there you go. I watch it too, and did watch the episodes of the old one. Take care. Have a good day.
We're going to start a therapy group.
You know what I'm going to do? Just to show that I'm... The sci-fi geek here, I'm going to go out and buy the whole series this weekend and watch it. That's right. I'll scrape off the disc that has Galactica 1980 on it. But
and our good buddy Bruce Barr had to chime in on this one also.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, this is Bruce. I'm back in KC after being in Houston and suffering a whole week on dial-up in the hotel in Boston, where it was freezing, but been listening to the shows and listened to the latest one, and really was interested in your comments about the original Battlestar Galactica compared with the new production. I suppose that's kind of a Firefly thing going on there, but we'll go into that later. I remember Edward James Olmos, though, when it first came out as a movie or miniseries, he said, if you really love the old one, you might, think about, just not even bothering with this one. I'm not sure exactly what he meant, unless you like things being campy and 80s and really were hung up on the fact that Starbuck and Boomer should be guys. But everything else, I think, I can't think of anything that's not more positive about this latest thing. But the thing that really got me thinking about it, too, was your comments. I think I've got probably about a decade, give or take, on you guys. So this may be you were too young to remember this. But another show from that era that I can remember from my youth I thought was so cool, and I see the episodes now, and it's so completely what in the creator's name was I thinking, okay, is Man from U.N.C.L.E. Have you seen any Man from U.N.C.L.E. episodes from back in the day? Oh, my. Anyway, keep up the great work, guys, and we'll be listening. Bye.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a couple of those.
Oh, I've seen a couple of them. I wouldn't say I really watched it when I was younger, but yeah. But I tell you one thing. Hey, I think I mentioned this a long time ago. We were talking about the original Battlestar Galactica. I think it was right when Battlestar, the new one, was about to come out. My fondest memory of Battlestar Galactica is, well, it's not really fond, but I stayed up to watch the 2-hour premiere because I was like all psyched about it. You know, I'm a Star Wars kid, all juiced up, ready to watch Battlestar Galactica. And I watch it all until they interrupt it and President Jimmy Carter comes on talking about the Iran, the hostage deal. And I was like, I tried to stay up, and of course it was a school night. So I didn't get to see the rest of it.
Darn those hostages. What were they thinking?
Well, I mean, not to be insensitive, but I was a kid, you know, but I was like, daggummit, you know.
They did that in Vietnam all the time, too.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Hey, we were talking about bugs in the computer, how the first bug was logged and taped. The moth was taped into the logbook. Well, mm-hmm. Jeremy's got a story to tell us.
Hey, Chuck. This is Jeremy from Western Oklahoma. Regarding your story about the original computer bug, for myself and my coworker out here in Western Oklahoma, that has actually come full circle a time or two before, because we have actually had computers that had cockroach infestations in them. There'd be not just live cockroaches, but also dead, burnt cockroaches stuck in there. And then I also had a friend once who actually did have moths come into his computer. And it was really funny because it was a clear case so that you could see the moth flying around in the computer, and how it never shocked itself, I'll never know.
Poor thing.
Maybe it did. That's just
nasty.
I can't
take it anymore. I'm out of here.
Good stories. And, of course, Scott has to confirm our story. Remember I was telling you about the mouse in the computer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's come to
Hey, guys.
Confirm
Last week's story about the mouse in the computer made a few of your listeners skeptical, so I'm calling to fill in a few details. I worked with Chuck at the time, and I can vouch for his story. The thing that's really interesting about this is how the mouse got inside of the computer to build its nest in the first place. As best as I recall, that was a true blue IBM PC XT. Old timers among us will remember the full height 5 1/4 inch floppy drives that IBM used for their PC and the original PC XT models. Well, that big flat paddle locking mechanism offered more than enough room for the average mouse to squeeze through, provided at least that there wasn't a floppy disk in the drive. And now you know the rest of the tale. Thanks for the show, and catch you later, gents. Bye-bye.
Up next, I hope you'll enjoy a skit by Pedro Sanchez.
When I came home from school, my head started to get really hot, so I drank some cold water, but it didn't do nothing. So I laid in the bathtub for a while, and I listened to Technorama, and I didn't feel so hot no more. Thanks, Chuck and Craig, for saving me from shaving my hair off again. To pay you back, I'm going to build you a cake.
Time to give the shout-out in the chat room. We've got East Bay Ant, oh, currently away. Jeep and Dave, Joni! Yay, Joni's back. K.O., Mark Shepard, Runtime Error, Scott R., the man you just heard about the mouse story, which is absolutely 100% true.
You can vouch it.
Short Man, Sven603, Tim Elliott, Zaha Doom, and then us three regular characters, Craig, Chuck, and RoboChuck. Like, yeah. The furniture, they're there.
Just move them around a little bit.
And a reminder that show number 101 is coming up in just a few short weeks. We want your audio clips. Thanks to Dean Jensen, when I mentioned this on the last show, he said, I am really disappointed. You're not supposed to be celebrating show 100. You should be celebrating show 101. So we changed it, because that's the kind of people we are.
Well, I personally wanted to wait till the 1 year, because it's only a little bit after 100. But, you know, Chuck taught me into it. We're going to celebrate. Hey, it's Wednesday.
We're going to celebrate everything. Lisa writes me a sign that says, we're on the air. Thank you. We know that.
Hey.
On the chair. She writes CH in front of it. Instead of hi chat room, the sign says hi fat room. Lisa's off the staff. 10 years old and has a warped sense of humor like her dad. News time.
Great.
News time.
Isn't it great? Well, Right off the top of the news, we have, I found out that just a couple of months ago, I thought it was new at first, but apparently not, Captain Crunch of Packing Fame has a video podcast, and you can find that over at crunchtv.net. Apparently he's talking about network security, social engineering, that kind of good stuff too. So you can go check that out. Let's see, this last one he's talking about anti-spam technology and that kind of good stuff. So
he looks like an old hacker, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Now he's got a beard. I don't remember seeing a beard on him before, but
I don't remember seeing him at all. I just looked at him and went, "Yep, looks like an old Unix hacker."
He was on the Screensavers one time, or was he? I think so.
I don't think so. I think he's been laying low profile for a long time.
He was on the Screensavers one time.
Was he?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, and new technology.
Yeah.
Microsoft has their, CNET leaked? Is this a leak or is this a real PR?
This is the Origami mini tablet. No, well, it was a leak at first, and I think they had a press day. Well, actually, they unveil it on Thursday the 9th. We record the show on Wednesday night, and they're going to release this on the 9th at CeBIT or something like that in Germany. Well, it's basically it looks like a laptop. It's a compact computer screen. I don't see the big buzz about it.
It's from Microsoft.
Yeah. When was the last time they had buzz like Apple did?
Mini tablet sounds like it's easier to swallow. Gel coated because it gets rid of pain faster.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be honest with you. I kind of like this form factor. I think a little bit better than having the video iPod. I would rather have something a little bit bigger. A bigger screen, like a laptop or something like that.
Are you going all Microsoft on me?
No. No. How dare you? I run an open source podcast down the road at validsindex.com, and you're going to accuse me of that?
We're going to start calling you John C. Dvorak for plugging your site on my show.
Yeah. Well, anyway, no, it's just a compact tablet that I think some of them you can twist it and has, it's like a huge size cell phone. Some of the cell phones you can twist and get the keyboard. Unless it has some kind of special EVDO cards built in or whatever, and they're like, oh, we got all these manufacturers. I'm like, what new? It doesn't look like anything really new, so I don't know. But I guess we'll find out tomorrow when they unveil it.
Now, what did you sneak in here about TiVo that I didn't see until just now?
TiVo announces a new pricing plan. And just after you announced that you purchased the two lifetimes.
Hey, I'm set for life. I don't have to think about this ever again.
Well, I think they did away with the lifetime thing.
Oh, in case of?
The price of a TiVo for 1 year service is $224. The price of a TiVo box for 2 years of service is $369. And a price for 3 years is $469. And I think they were saying, I'm trying to look for it, because I saw this at the last minute, and I said, I got to throw this in here. For the first time ever, through direct sales, customers will be able to bundle together the purchase of TiVo 80-hour Series 2 box and service in one-time pack.
Speak up.
I'm skimming it.
But you're reading it.
I don't know.
Skim anyway. Or read. I can always make fun. So it sounds like I got in just under the wire.
I'm trying to figure out if you got a good deal or you got a screwed.
No, I got a good deal. Think about it.
It sounds like you got a good deal.
My whole cash outlay was $300 for the lifetime plan and about $30 for the unit. So I came in better than their 2-year deal.
Yeah, and you know what? I think the deal is I want to say that part of the rumor, at least I knew the other day, is they were saying they were going to give away the hardware, which is basically what they did for you. And they had $30. I mean, come on.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, it's the deal. It's TiVo. Give me $30 back. Anyway, so I'm not quite sure on this. So I just threw this in there, but I saw that they were coming up with a tiered pricing plan if you pay for the entire year.
I think I made out better then.
You probably did.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Hey, before we get into the Hex and Strange Stories, I just want to mention that last night, which would have been Tuesday in the real world, whatever it is for you listening to this, wherever, whenever, we recorded yet another Technorama exclusive interview with Peggy from the Twister Sisters. She is not involved with Right Hand Red or Left Foot Blue kind of Twister. She's involved with Storm Chasing.
Nor Dee Snider.
No, not that's Twisted Sister, but close enough. And we had a wonderful interview. I just need to edit that up. We'll have that out in the next few days. Looking forward to airing that. It's sort of a different spin on the Tornado Tim thing. And a couple other, as I mentioned.
Yeah, it's like tornadoes with chicks.
And thank you. Thank you to everyone who sent in contact information for Chuck Yeager. I did not respond to every one of them because he probably would have thought I was spamming him. But I did send a nice cordial invitation. And I do hear that he is chairman or president or something of the Experimental Aircraft Association just a few miles south of here. And his schedule says he will be in Oshkosh this summer, so he may be at the studio.
I started to say, and it turns out, looking at the contact information, he lives right around the corner from Chuck.
No, he doesn't live. He's down in Alabama or Arkansas or something.
Oh, he's in my neck of the woods.
Closer. Well, but in the
closer
summer,
to me than you.
In the summer, for a week. He will be near me, and I better get that couch for the guest seats so he can have something to sit on beside the hard metal chair. Of course, that might be more comfortable than the X1.
Yeah, I can see him coming to your house. Okay, yeah.
Dude, you got to dream big when you're in podcasting.
Why am I getting flashbacks of Wayne's World? You're bringing me down to your basement to podcast.
You heard Jay Sherman at the beginning.
It stinks.
Speaking of jet-powered, since we talked about the Bell X1A.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Oh, man. I was going to pull it up while I was talking about it, and it says the website's been temporarily frozen.
It's probably been frozen the every time I looked at it. Didn't they get digged or slash dotted or something?
Wait a minute. Oh, don't I have it? No, I had a plugin in my Firefox called Cash Out, and it would go pull it out of a cache.
Well, go anyway. From your Swiss cheese memory and tell them what you saw.
Let's see. Skip over that hole. And okay, what it is I've got a new Beetle. I got an 03 Beetle, and this is the same thing. I'm not sure exactly the year, but it looks like he took the back seat out and has a jet engine in the back poking out the stock hatchback. I mean, when you look at it, you're just like, oh my gosh, this looks like it's going to fly off the road. And it has the normal gas engine, and it has the jet engine in the back, and it says it's completely street legal.
Wait, go to the chat room. Sven603 just put something in there for you. Oh my gosh.
Go here. Chuck Yeager's house. What? Oh, the jet beetle. Yeah, well, that's where I found it through his Engadget.
This looks like a monster garage thing.
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow, it is. It's a jet engine sticking out the back of Craig's car.
Well, I've got a red one.
Okay.
But, yeah, so you got the idea.
It looks like the flipping Batmobile, only shaped like a beetle.
It looks great, man. At first thought, my first reaction was, I want to do this.
How fast does it go?
How fast did he say that thing went?
The chat room comes through for us again. Thanks, man. Hope you're listening on the stream. We are modern technology and more action here.
You know what I'm going to do? You know I'm going to try. Well, it would be really cool if we had, you know how some of our blind listeners have the screen readers? What if we applied that technology and had our chat room on the show?
Well, that would be interesting. Yeah. It'd be a whole bunch of side comments sticking in with ours.
Oh, yeah, I can see RoboChuck getting stuff out of the fridge. I might have to work on that one. At any rate, so anyway, you can go check this thing out. It's awesome. The pictures just blew me away. It does look like the Batmobile or something.
That's pretty wild.
Yes.
iPod MAME brings Pac-Man to the iPod.
Yes. You know,
I didn't know there was an iPod MAME.
Well, you know, I cannot pass up a story if it has MAME somewhere in there and, you know, ROMs. So go look at, can you look at the picture? Have you seen that?
I have not. It is,
well, for those of you at home listening or whatever, don't know what MAME is. MAME is the multi-arcade machine emulator. You can get these ROMs. They're on the internet all over the place, but really you're supposed to have the video game own it to be able to own the ROMs. But you take the ROMs, put them in the emulator, and you can play the arcade games just like you were sitting there putting pumping quarters in this machine. Well, here it is, Miss Pac-Man running on a nano.
It's coming up very slowly for me. We're probably
come on, man.
Hey, I'm just telling you what's going on. My poor machine is sitting here doing a lot of things right now to do with audio and video.
They said it's confirmed to be able to run Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man on the nano. So
the other nano? ROMs,
I don't know, huh?
The nano?
On the nano, yeah.
How the heck are you supposed to see anything? It's so tiny.
It looks good. Go look at it, I'm telling you.
I'm looking. Wow, that is severe eye strain to me.
I mean, I think it looks pretty decent. I mean, you know.
Screen on the nano is what, about an inch wide?
Yeah. Well, maybe you should try it on your own.
I don't know. Okay.
You can put iPod Linux on your iPod.
I don't know. Is it working on the 5G yet?
That's what a nano is. Just no hard drive.
Okay. Well, yeah, but it's all different chipsets and things. You'd think that the 4G and the Mini were the same thing. But moving right along, we've got a thank you to Yorga for an Easter egg. He found a couple of things in Firefox. If you go, you know about, we'll tell you all about, you know, what version you're running. And there's about colon blank. We'll give you a blank screen. That's a typical startup page. Well, there's about:Mozilla. Try that and see what you get. about:cache. We'll tell you your cache statistics. And about:credits. We'll tell you all the people who helped contribute to Firefox. Pretty wild.
Yep.
And he came back with a question for me a little later in the day. He said, I've got a Nokia phone, and I want to convert some AMR files to MP3. So I did a quick Google search and emailed him a couple of links that I had forgot to put in the show notes because it was last-minute stuff. So I will get those in there. But yes, you can.
Now, what is AMR?
Must be some kind of specific Nokia thing because I hadn't heard of it before, and I don't have a Nokia phone.
Well, here's a batch converter, but I'm not familiar with AMR.
Sounds like a band. Let's give it up for AMR! Yeah!
Thank you, good night! Anyway.
Sunday, 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 Technorama presents Monster Geek Rally. Witness the ultimate in Monster Geek events like the speed cable crimping, extreme programming, ultimate data restore competition, and the equipment rack pull. See such big names as Super Geek, Geekfoot, Debugger, the Hexadecimal, Java Man, and the Emulator. Meet the hosts of Technorama, Chuck and Craig, free pocket protectors of the first 100 kids age 1100 and under. So tape up your glasses and come on down to the Octal Data Center Sunday. It's open at 4:43. Monster Geek Rally, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Tickets available at www.chuckchat.com. Brought to you by Technorama.
Digital Dan writes in, he says, what a funny intro, referring to our Office Space intro on show number 89. I also heard on Daily Source Code. Wow, what a surprise. He had it on Source Code 347, although he did not mention you, sad face, icon, emoticon, sideways, colon, parentheses thing. Did I nail that one?
Frowny face.
Everyone that works in an office cube farm needs to see it. Very funny, one of my favorites. My brother-in-law just bought a new laptop, HP Vivian notebook, but gives a part number. He doesn't know much about computers, so I am his tech support. You lucky guy. Welcome to my world. I have installed OpenOffice, Firefox, AVG, Microsoft Defender, Yahoo Widgets, Picasa. I'm also researching an easy Wi-Fi VPN solution for secure connection on a public hotspot. Do you guys have any recommendations for more free or open source software needed for a new laptop for a basic user? Thanks, and binary high 5101. Over to you, Mr. Open Source Valid Syntax at ValidSyntax.com.
What?
Wake up. That's your cue.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess it depends on what he wants to use the machine for. OpenOffice is the first thing I stick on people's machines if they, of course, need that kind of thing. Firefox, a given. AVG. I don't know about Microsoft Defender.
Maybe it defends against Microsoft software.
Well, you really need two joysticks to play that. Anyway. Ba-dum-tsh. Yahoo Widgets is good. I actually run that on my laptop. Picasa is also great. I'm trying to think of anything else that comes to mind. That's a good start right there. Actually, you know what? Go download the OpenCD at the opencd.org. Let me pull that up and make sure. Let's see. The opencd.org. That's a good one right there. You can download the OpenCD. It has all these programs built in for you. Actually, looks like they got a new version out. Let me tell you what kind of programs they got in there. Abby Word, Moin Moin, which is like a wiki, a local wiki that you can run on your own machine. OpenOffice PDF Creator, that's another good one. Mm-hmm. Blender, GIMP, InView. InView is an HTML editor. You have Firefox on there. Thunderbird Game. Audacity. I'm going to hook him up doing some podcasts.
And that's just an ISO he can download. He's got tons of open source stuff, yes. Right?
Yes, it's just an ISO you download. I was just going to run into the programs real quick. We've got 7-Zip, which is a zip program. Notepad 2. There's a couple of games on there. Oh, and the really slick screensavers, which are cool as well. Oh, and Celestria. Celestria with the astronomy program.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Kevin Devin was talking about that.
Oh, that's on that CD. You just go download the CD and
put that on there.
TheOpenCD.org.
Bingo. There you are. We'll have to amend the show notes.
Oh, by the way, Wi-Fi VPN, I would suggest going over to Security Now podcast and checked out. He did some, Steve Gibson ran down over the course of, what was it, 2 or 3 shows talking about wireless VPN.
Mm-hmm.
I use Hamachi, but...
Bless you. What do you use?
Hamachi. Hamachi. H-A-M-C-H-I. IA. Is that right? Hamachi. And it's a peer to peer.
Hachi Hamachi.
Yeah.
Hachi Machi.
Anyway, it's more of a, mediated peer to peer VPN where they have a server that you actually connect to and your machine, like my house, is connected to. And you build in your own network so you don't have to poke any holes in the firewall. It's just always there. Your machine's available.
That always sounds really wrong. Poke holes in the firewall.
Yeah, I know. There's another one. There's like iPig, which I know sounds funny. iPig is another one, and OpenVPN, if you want to go that far, you can build your own VPN network. Anyway, there you go. I pulled the trigger. Yep, I'm going to Mars. If it's not your daughter, you're fishing for something else.
Just like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah, and then you woke up.
All right. Ruined my fun. Is that typewriter getting longer, or is that my imagination? Dun, dun, dun. A plus sign.
That's the little cross on the keyboard.
Yeah, that was Stephen Hawking. Wasn't he great?
I still can't believe he's 57. They're joined in the gears.
We're not going to go into their preferences. The 10th planet is bigger than Pluto. Now can we go home?
Geek Thoughts.
He who laughs last probably made a backup. That would be me.
Not me. I live on the edge. Real men don't make backups.
If it was hard to write, it should be hard. No, that's a different story.
Anyway, in the Geek Library tonight, I wanted to point everybody to the X-Men The Last Stand trailer.
That's the final movie, right?
I don't know about final, but it's the next one, yes.
But it says 3. The Last Stand. What are they out there, selling lemonade?
Maybe they're done standing. The first sit is
come
the next
on
one.
In,
I don't know.
Sit down!
Anyway, it looks really cool. You get to get a glimpse of Kelsey Grammer as the Beast. He actually looks pretty good. When you he know, opens his mouth and speaks, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, this is going to be great.
I didn't even catch that. I got to watch that again. I watched it.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah, I saw it. That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, also tomorrow is the, they're releasing the Pixar Cars trailer. I just happen to know that. Tomorrow.
The trailer's been out for a while.
And you saw a teaser. The trailer comes out tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, because somebody even sent me one in French. It's really funny listening to that southern guy talk with a French accent.
They open up the website, and the website's there, and I'm sorry, I don't have the address right in front of me, but the website's up now, and they're going to have a trailer there tomorrow, full blown.
That is a beautiful thing.
It's awesome, man.
Oh, by the way, I do want to mention, real quick before we head out.
Yes. Because we are heading out.
Yeah, I watched Curious George and with my son tonight, and my wife, too. Oh, yeah, her, too.
Is it better to watch Curious George or George Curious?
I mean, anyway, we went to go see Curious George. That was an awesome movie. That was a really good movie. It was beautiful, the animation. And I have to say, as much as I do like the computer animation, that right there is a testament of why we need to keep hand-drawn animation around.
So it was like a cartoon animation thing.
Yes, it was. It was hand-drawn. I mean, there was a couple elements, like the anchor coming up in the boat. That was, you could tell that was CG, but they tried to actually blend it in, and it looked really well. So there really wasn't a lot of that 3D animation. It was a hand-drawn. The, you know, George and the man in the yellow hat was all...
Yellow?
You know, it was all hand-drawn.
Would you recommend... Did Harrison like it?
Oh, yeah. He was telling me when we went to bed. I really liked the movie. He's ready to go to sleep. But, you know, he loved it, yeah.
Well, maybe I'll have to take the kids this weekend.
What's that?
Maybe I'll have to take the kids this weekend.
Oh, yeah. You know, now it's kind of thinned out because, you know, it's been out for a while. And there was a family down below where we're at. We were sitting right in the middle. And, you know, there's the sad scene where, well, I don't want to give it away, but, you know, George and the man in the yellow hat get separate. Huh?
Wash dies.
Wash dies. And they get separated, you know, for a moment. And it didn't look good, you know. And of course, I was surprised that all the kids picked up on that. One kind of started bawling. I was like, what's going on? I said, oh, you know, I'm thinking, oh, man, kid's crying. Oh, she's actually crying because of that. And I was like, oh. And I looked down and my son's chin was quivering. It's all right. He works it out, I'm sure.
All right, quick reminder that show number 101 is coming. And don't forget to send in those audio clips to chuckchat@gmail.com. Had to think of which of the 25 email addresses to send them to.
Spit it out, Chuck.
And there's one more week to register for the Griffin iTrip Nano. Thank you to the good folks at Griffin Technologies. This is the clip-on iTrip for the iPod Nano. Send your email to chuckchat plus... nano@gmail.com.
Are you sure?
Well, I can't put it in the show notes. Then people just look at it. And you gotta listen to the show to get your thing.
Yeah.
And I have to remember, because we've been doing these for like a month, and I can't remember which is which anymore. Yeah.
Well, Chuck, let's get out of here, man.
I'm tired.
All right. Go take a nap while I read this. Now, everybody, don't snore. Everybody, I want you to call our listener line. It's 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. And we, like Chuck said a minute ago, we need your listener audio clips of what? What are we asking for?
Comments, suggestions, snide remarks.
And we pick out the good stuff and play it. So email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com and send audio comments at chuckchat@gmail.com. Email me. It's K-R-E-G. It's not that hard. It's just with a K. At chuckchat.com.
It's not Greg. It's not Craig.
And the other constant in the universe, our website at chuckchat.com for forums, our swag webcam, mailing list, links, and the webcams, which I tried to hook mine up tonight, but I had a little technical difficulty.
You want to explain that? No, never mind. This show is a member of Friends in Tech. Find out more about this and many other good tech shows at friendsintech.com. And as always, if you're getting this by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing. Get the show automatically delivered to you for free. It says subscribe, but it's for free. Free subscription. Can't go wrong there. Drop either one of us an email if you need help with that.
Yeah. Hey, don't Chuck.
Yes.
I'm sorry, don't forget what?
Tell a friend about Technorama. You are a geek, and you have lots of geek friends. Bring them into the fold so you have something to laugh at the next morning.
Yeah. No podcast alley, no vote here, and this, that, or the other. Tell your friends.
That's all we
want. Both them.
Share the love. We done?
Yeah, I guess so.
Give them a binary high five, and we'll hit the stop record button.
1-0-1
God, is that you?
No.